By way of introduction, just want to start with that last verse that was read to try to, first of all, tie these portions together and then set before the brethren the exercise that the saints have with regards to the subject. This is now the third time, that last verse that was read, the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. In reference particularly now to his disciples. And I just want to say at the beginning here, as we've seen in John chapter 20, we have seen the Lord Jesus in association with the called out ones in the midst of the assembly. And so we see the Lord Jesus in resurrection in relation to the assembly. When we skipped over the second part, though we touched it this morning, with regards to Thomas. Here we find the Lord Jesus and Thomas speaking to us of the nation of Israel and the restored nation looking upon him whom they have pierced. And when we come to this portion in John chapter 21, we see the Lord in type now in relation to the nations, bringing them in. A millennial scene. It's the morning. It's the glory, glorious morning, and it's that millennial day, and before him, the one who is the provider and supplier of all things, and the one by whom there is blessing, and all the nations are gathered unto him. But the exercise of the brethren would be now to look at this portion as it applies to us today. And to see here the Lord in his work of restoring grace, seeking his own. And as we begin in this chapter, we find seven of the disciples. We find them on the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee. And we find them reverting back to their old ways, the ways that they knew by nature. Those things that would entangle them in the affairs of this life, so to speak. Peter, the one always quick to jump, to speak, I go a-fishing. What is the ramification of one, when we think of Peter, look at the influence that he had amongst those that were with him. We also will go with you. What does this mean to us? How does this speak to us? What is the example that I'm setting? I leave these as questions. Then we think here, children, do you have any meat? Now the Lord comes and he speaks and there's a challenge. Children, do you have any meat? There wasn't much that could be said. You can't find a word that's much shorter. No. What was in the hearts of the disciples as they realized there was nothing that they had in response to the question? What about the challenge of casting the net now on the right side of the ship? And what about, why not just cast the net on the other side? But why is the Lord specific and giving instruction now to cast the net on the right side of the ship? And what can we learn for ourselves today as we seek to know these instructions? But as we go through the study, might it be that we can each one know and can say, it is the Lord. He is the one who speaks. He is the one who draws. He is the one who is now showing himself to the disciples in grace, in love, doing those things for them that they knew before his death and before his resurrection as the one who is ever the same, but now in resurrection, but who takes them back to the place really where they were first called. When we go back to the Sea of Galilee in Luke chapter 5, for example, different time, little bit different circumstances, and yet some of the same instructions. And what was the result? The disciples could say, they didn't say, they walked. They were called, and the scripture says they forsook all and followed him, because now he had captured their hearts. And so that we can say and know it is the Lord, to be challenged in our hearts to see him and only him, and that he might be the one that would encourage and direct us in our lives here and now in service unto him, following him.